Last night, the Roosters beat the Knights 22-20 in Newcastle. Tonight, our man Joshy will be hoping for another ambush. He got one last week against the Roosters. Well, they're 18.5 point outsiders against the Melbourne Storm tonight. And then it's the Battle of Brisbane. Brisbane v. the Dolphins to review, preview. We're going to look at everything at Souths. My gosh, what a basket case it is at the moment. And Josh Schuster as well, Yvonne Sampson from Fox League, who I saw she was at Inglis on Monday as well. Not sure she got a bit in for the Winx filly. How are you, Vonnie?
I'm very good. No, I was too terrified to even scratch my head in case I made a bid for the Winx filly. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that a magnificent occasion? And there was so much atmosphere and excitement and then emotion from Debbie Kapitis. And, it was a great thrill to be there for Inglis, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that then, Vonnie, because I actually watched it online and I saw everyone, they were sort of quiet, and then the bidding process was happening. I think everyone was like stunned with the price. And then, you know, the auctioneer saying, don't clap before the horse gets out of the ring. But it just looked like a wonderful atmosphere and plenty of excitement around.
Well, we'd been hearing all the build-up was this John Stewart, the big brash American who was very bold in his ambitions to just take this filly no matter what it costs. And he was even on radio, I think, a couple of hours before she went through the ring, just saying, you know, I've got endless money. Doesn't bother me. I'm taking her home. I'm willing to go to six. I'm willing to go to seven. And we thought, that's outrageous money. No horse has ever come close to that in Australia for a yearling. So it was pretty astonishing when the horse entered the ring and we were all there. We knew the backstory. We'd all fallen in love with the romance of Winx and how she lost her first foal. And I think they nearly lost Winx herself. She was very unwell. And this was the first live foal. And here she was in the ring for everyone to see. And she looks so much like her mum. And I think that really fed into everyone just sort of sitting there going, oh my God, this is amazing. And then when the numbers started going up, you know, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, $6 million, and then you just sat there in shock. And we're like, are we hearing this right? What's happening? And then you could realise that Debbie was no way. She wanted someone else to experience the joy that she'd had with this wonderful bloodline. But at the end of the day, she just couldn't let her go. And, yep, there was no way she was going to let her go. And at $10 million, she's all yours, Debbie. So just a wonderful story for Debbie Kapitis and Whoppet Racing. And now we wait and see what this wonderful filly can do. And, you know, because it's just amazing when you think that $10 million and there's no guarantee she'll ever even race. There's no guarantee she'll ever make the track. But phenomenal to be there, absolutely. And because I'm such a horse lover, so I was running around and kissing all the babies and, you know, it was such a beautiful day. So, no, very, very nice.
Yeah, I was very interested, Vonnie, that the mayor of Northbridge, to my right, didn't have a bid for them. Nothing lost.
I had no moolah.
No moolah?
No moolah.
I think that's a porky. You've got plenty of moolah. But Vonnie, onto last night's game. So many people were tipping the Knights, and I just couldn't see it, especially after the Roosters' poor performance against the Dogs. Sorry, is that what you expected from that game last night, Vonnie?
I tipped the Roosters, but with no great confidence, just because it's been a really uncomfortable week at Roosters HQ. I think with all the major concerns around for Tedesco, who's recovering from what we're learning now is maybe up to his 10th very serious concussion. Sam Walker was obviously out with his concussion as well. And Robert was talking about how the Roosters are well-versed in their medical staff. They'd actually last year sent them to the Pittsburgh Concussion Clinic, who were world leaders in post-concussion research and treatment. So they are taking this very, very seriously. And then they had all the unpleasantness surrounding Michael Jennings' 300th game and the NRL cancelling all the party plans and celebrations. And then the Roosters saying, well, we're backing our man. We'll do it privately. And it was just an unusual week for the Roosters. And I thought, oh, I don't know how this pressure is going to go. I still tipped them, but I thought the Knights, I don't know, something just doesn't make me that convinced with the Knights yet. I know I love what they're doing, and I really thought that Hastings and Cogger before last night, I thought their kicking game the week before against the Dragons in the bog was very, very good. And Kalen Ponga, I thought he was ready to tear strips off the Sydney boys. But, yeah, it just didn't quite work out like that. And the locals in Newey, they let the referees know all about it full time. Do you hear the boos?
Yeah,
just because they know their footy up there. That's a proper footy town, and they thought it was a professional foul all night. When Ponga went on that, they were down by two. Ponga made a break on the right side. Joey Manu and the Roosters defender, who's also pronounced Ponga, then laid all over Kalen Ponga in the play of the ball. And it could have been a penalty. That would have levelled up the game. It didn't happen. Adam O'Brien was a bit filthy on it, but he's not going to ask for a please explain. But, yeah, one of those unusual games that you never really got comfortable with. But, yeah, Roosters, they got it done, 2 points, and they'll take that and move on.
What'd you make of Manu's performance?
I love him at fullback, yeah. I mean, I just think he, the more you get him involved, the better. I think Joey Manu will be very missed from rugby league when he moves to rugby. But, yeah, I think when you've got the luxury of having someone like Joey Manu that you can throw into the number one spot, and he probably gives the Roosters a few more attacking options. Teddy's worked so hard this year, and I mean, last year was Teddy was well down on his own game. But Joey is just so full of running and, yeah, just gives them a lot more, well, not a lot more, but he gives them different things to work with. So I love Joey Manu. Very similar to with the Warriors. You know, if you've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you can throw him at fullback and still come up with really quality shape and play. So, yeah, it's a luxury to have those guys when you can pop them at the back and still, you know, nothing really goes by the way too much.
Vonnie, there's been plenty of chat about Jason Demetrio and what's happening there at the Bunnies. We were saying before, we feel he's been let down by that playing group that he's, you know, backed for a very long time. There's been about 1,000 people thrown up between Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy, but Mal Meninga's an interesting one, mate. What do you think he'll do if he actually gets the opportunity to coach South?
Yeah, I've spoken to Mal a couple of times over the last few days just because we work together at Fox and we've got something planned for early next week to shoot with him. And I said, hey, Mal, I'm not ringing for the goss. I just want to know, are you still going to be around for that shoot? we just need to make some plans. And, yeah, I think, look, he said, look, there hasn't been an official approach, but certainly there is some consideration going on from Mal's behalf. And now we know that the NRL aren't that thrilled about it because they're saying, well, hang on, you're the Kangaroos coach. You know, you're contracted as such. We expect that to be your full-time position. So Mal, I think, would only take this as a stopgap, you know, for the rest of this season until South's worked out what they're doing. But as Mal said, it's really disrespectful. If they haven't had a serious conversation with Jason Demetrio, who I completely agree with you boys, he's been treated so poorly here. And, you know, a couple of things that have come out, absolute coach killers. And if the board truly had a shortlist and this has been leaked, that's another killer. That's another coach killer, you know, and it just erodes your confidence. So what are you supposed to do? And I know the selections were absolutely wild. And you guys had Damien Cook on earlier this week. And for him to say publicly how angry and furious he was that potentially he was being the fall guy for what has been an atrocious 2024. But let's put it... It hasn't just been this season. They were really awful at the back end of last year too. So if you take a broader look at this, Souths have been bad for a long, long time now. It's not just this year. It's not just 6 weeks into the competition. It's the back end of last year too. And we keep talking about the senior players and, yeah, it just doesn't seem that anyone's on the same page. And, if Saturday's Jason Demetrio's last game for South, it'll be a sad one for Jason because I don't know what else he could have done. But it's a bit awkward as well because I've got Mal Meninga on the panel for Super Saturday, so we'll see how that all unfolds.
You might get record ratings because if they get smashed, Vonnie.
Oh yeah,
you know what?
Everyone's tuning in.
Everyone's going to expect you to ask the question.
Well, if they get flogged, right, and if Cronulla is serious, Cronulla have got to be ruthless about this, right? Bunnies are on the ropes. The Sharks just have to finish them off and just really put a score on them because that'd do Cronulla a massive solid and you know, put the Bunnies out of their misery. If that's where we're at, then that's what needs to happen. A bright spark for the Bunnies, though, can I just mention Jai Gray? Mm-hmm. With all the drama going on and Trell serving his 3-week suspension, Jai Gray's now the new fullback for the next few weeks at least, and he's not big officially. He is the shortest NRL player in the competition. He's 5'7" and about 170 centimetres. Billy Slater is a big fan, has taken taken a keen interest in his young career. He grew up on the Gold Coast, but he's an absolute tearaway. And it'll be nice to see at least a little bit of something bright to look forward to for the Bunnies. But yeah, it's all been a bit dramatic this week. So yeah, watch and wait. Now, look, if Mel texts me and say, hey, this shoots off, I'll give you the buzz.
How about Wayne yesterday? Did you see Wayne's press conference?
He loves it, Wayne.
Oh, doesn't he? There's some food. He just loves all this. Yeah. He says he hasn't spoken to anyone at South, but you know, the coach takes all the responsibility, the club takes none. That's the tragedy of all this stuff, he said. He said, something's gone amiss, that's their problem. Amazing.
Well, where do you think Wayne ends up? I mean, the rumours with Parramatta. South? Yeah, well, I mean, and then he's been linked to Parramatta, but then you think there's also a school of thought that potentially the new franchise, whether that be PNG, whether that be wherever, that becomes Wayne's new legacy piece. He can really pick and choose what he wants to do, the super coach. He's still got it.
The Josh Schuster situation, so he's been given 2 weeks personal leave after being told he's free to look elsewhere, and he was to play lock for Blacktown over in Auckland in the New South Wales Cup. You'd have to think, Vonnie, his time in a Manly jersey is almost certainly done.
So who re-signed him so recently then? Why did we do that? If there's no future with this guy and he clearly hasn't met the requirements that they need him to meet, then why re-sign him on such big money? So now they're sort of stuck with Schuster, who, I don't know how you market him. You've got to put him in the shop front window and try and pick up a different contract. But look, I don't know. But if I'm a club, maybe you're looking at, I don't know, what would you pay? $350, $400 for a Josh Schuster, which is half price at the moment.
Yeah, half price, definitely half price, no more.
And then what do you do with him?
Well, that's exactly right. But I don't know, you know, this notional value that they have on, or if you leave somewhere and you've got to be at the same market value, how does it work with Schuster? Because if Manly expecting to pay nothing, surely no club's going to take over the $800,000.
You couldn't. That's such an inherent risk. Who is buying a reserve grader for $800,000?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You Manly bought him, obviously, on potential. So you can't buy him on potential now.
Not again.
That's exactly right. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the same hole. It's a massive risk. You've got to buy him on what he's doing. And I think people will take a risk at around that 300, 400 mark. But I don't think they'll be paying any more.
I will say, right now, we're speaking about Josh Schuster being signed on 800 on potential. If Josh Schuster goes away, trains hard, becomes a player where you want to buy him at 800 for his effort areas, he could be more than 800. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He could go to one. He is a player. If he gets fit, he gets he becomes about the team. He puts his head down. He can be
well. That's the art of the salary cap, is to make sure that when you sign a player for $200,000, he performs like a $500,000 player. Mm-hmm. And if you sign someone on $1 million, they're performing like a $1.5 million player. Yep. If you can get that happening in your roster, you're going to have a fairly successful team. But you can't get caught with people playing under their value. Mm-hmm. Because if you've got too many of them doing that, your salary cap's out of whack.
So if a strong club with a really strong system like a Storm picked him up for a song, and then he'd just become, you know, and you can see it. He could become one of the best players in the competition. You know, like it'd just work. That wouldn't surprise anyone. But then, you know, even like a Des Hasler at the Titans, he's got a situation where Fifita could activate a clause in his contract, and then all of a sudden he's looking for someone that Josh Schuster could be that person at the right price. So, I mean, it's a fascinating next step for Josh Schuster. But I just can't believe how much we've been talking about someone who's really not done a lot in the NRL and is on major money. And really, we're now like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You're like, well, it's been driving a lot of the news cycle, and still watch and wait to see what Josh is going to do in this game, because we haven't seen really any of that potential realised.
Ronnie, I warned the boys last week there was an ambush coming.
I know, and
it is Friday.
You said that against the Sharks.
Hey,
it every week.
It's an ambush every week.
Yeah.
And no one liked it last week. We go down to Melbourne. No one likes us. I think Melbourne are the shortest I've ever seen anyone in a long time. But I'm telling you, there is going to be an ambush. Vonnie, are you with me?
You know what, Grubby? I might be. By the end of this chat, I'm probably with you. Because the quote of the week, And it goes to, you know, the rugby league Gandhi of our time, Cameron Munster, who said, at times I'm good and sometimes I'm going to be crap. I've just got to get my head right and try to do whatever I can. And really, it's prophetic, isn't it? It's amazing. Yeah. And look, Melbourne have been a bit like that too. You know, they've been good and not so good. And I think the Bulldogs have only been better each and every week. And I love what they're building. And I thought what they did last week was pretty special. And with you, Grubby, they are the last team to beat the Storm at Amy Park. Oh. That was round two last year. So Cameron Seraldo has a 100% win record over Craig Bellamy. So look, I think the Bulldogs are a chance. I think the Bulldogs are a bigger chance than people give them credit for.
Yeah, I think Melbourne will win, but I don't think it'll be an easy win. Correct me if I'm wrong, Vonnie. I don't know how good your memory is, but was this the game last year that the Bulldogs really threw it around?
Yes. Yeah.
And they played Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. So I'm expecting them to play like that again. Just really take the Storm out of their comfort zone and move the ball around. So, you're brave man to tip against Melbourne, though, in Melbourne.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Just a quick word, Vonnie. The Courier-Mail's been drumming up the hate all week for the Battle of Brisbane tonight, the Broncos and the Dolphins. Tough ask for the Dolphins considering who they've got out.
Oh, I know. I thought Flegler was the killer blow yesterday when he failed to overcome that shoulder injury. So, yeah, no Herbie Farnworth, no Felice Kaufusi. And Jordan Rickey's a late inclusion, which is great news for the Broncos. I think this rivalry, it's sort of on the big stage, right? It's got this big stage feel. They've got Jet, you know, the rock band performing, who's a Victorian band. And so they did a presser this week. And the only two rugby league players that Jet, the band, the rock band knew, was Wally Lewis and, weirdly, Brett Plowman.
Brett Plowman?
What? Brett Plowman.
Where did they jag that from?
I don't know. Jet. They were the only two footy players that they knew. Anyway, but look, this... I push on.
Was it a G up?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they use Brett Plowman as a reference for something else. Maybe that's why they think it's funny. I reckon
one of the band members has asked someone out the back. Someone's just been playing.
What happened
buggers.
To Mal or Alfie? They're throwing him Brett Daily. Brett Plowman.
Brett Plowman. What is he doing out there? Anyway, I think the
Fatty, someone. Yeah. Gilly.
Anyway, look, Reece Walsh is back and he's returning from that fractured cheekbone. I thought Tristan Saylor was amazing, but, you know, Walsh is a true rock star. So, look, I think Brisbane, they're down on numbers as well, but they'll probably get this done. Cobbo and Jesse Arthurs and Tony Staggs, Ezra Mamm, who's my favourite. So, yeah, I think Brizzy will get this done.
Hey, Vonnie, you have a great weekend. Oh, Uncle Laurie, or yourself.
Oh, Uncle Laurie, hang on. Where are we? Tomorrow. How is it out there, boys? It's a sparkling
morning. It's beautiful.
Stunning.
Race 5 in the Arrowfield Sprint. We have number 2, Arkansas Kid from Uncle Laurie.
For the Hayes team, Mark Zara rides. Cracking race, the Arrowfield. So $12 to win, $3.50 to place. Race 5, number 2 for Uncle Laurie. Keep an eye out too. I know you'll be busy in the studio, but if you happen to see some vision of the Cove for the Sydney Derby, Jay Reynolds will be there, shirt above his head, waiting it around. So keep an eye out for that as well.
I will.
Awesome.